Okay, I'm going to try something a little different this morning. Not that you'll notice, but that's going to make my life slightly harder. Normally when I talk, I use my computer as my words. So I scroll through my words so that I can stand back and I can talk to you, and I feel that that's more natural for me. But having done that, when I use my PowerPoint, I normally give my PowerPoint to Martin and put on a memory stick, but it never quite configures properly. So I'm going to try and run the PowerPoint and do my talk on my tablet. So I'm going to either, it's all going to fail or it's going to be all right. So this question isn't worth a chocolate bar, but later on there is a question that is worth a chocolate bar. But who can tell me what is the series called that we're going through as church every Sunday morning? Encounters with Jesus. And today's encounter with Jesus is the bleeding woman from Luke 8. Now, I've changed the words there because it's actually in the Bible, it calls the lady with the blood issue. And I kind of didn't like that, so I've changed it slightly. And when Neil sent out the preaching plan, and when Andy, I'd like you to preach along with everybody else, and we're doing encounters with Jesus, suddenly everybody's replying, and I was left with, right, now who do I pick? This is gone, that's gone, that's gone. So I was kind of thinking, well, who do I preach on? And suddenly this came to mind, and I'm thinking, can I really get away with preaching about the lady with the bleeding issue? And then I thought, actually, the more and more that I've studied it, and the more and more I've looked into it, and I'm thinking, yeah, I can. So let me ask a question. Do you want to go home today looking like this? Not necessarily physically, but I do. I want to go home this morning amazed and shocked after finding something new out about my God and my Saviour. How about you? Do you want to leave here knowing that God has touched you with something new, something afresh this morning? Because in this series of encounters with Jesus that we've been going through, I've noticed over and over there's almost an underlying theme to people's encounters with Jesus, and in turn their healing. And that this is the person's faith in the first place that has, one, brought them to Jesus, and two, it's their faith that has made them well. And I'll explain this a little bit further. So before you shoot me down in flames, please hear everything I have to say, because if you only hear half of what I have to say, you will be misguided. So let's go and just have a few recaps of some of the encounters that we've already listened to, that Neil and others have preached on. So the man that has been lowered through the roof in Mark 2. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We've got the story of the 12 lepers, 10 lepers. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Moving on to blind Bartimaeus in Luke 18. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." The story of Lazarus is slightly different, which is in John 11. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" This time it wasn't their faith in Jesus and God that brought Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus demonstrated that he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, and that they should have had more faith in him and the power of God. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead despite their lack of faith. But the emphasis is still on the power that we can draw on, and we have to draw on, that we can draw on if we have faith in our Savior and our God. You know, please don't hear me wrong. It was Jesus, and it was the power of God that healed them. But they certainly had faith in Jesus that he could heal them. So let's look at the story of the bleeding lady who had been so for 12 years. And even though it's not mentioned in the Bible, I think it's fair to say this is a female-related condition. So Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. And this is found in Luke. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. I'm sure he didn't say it like that. When they all denied it, Peter said, "But Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Okay, so how would she have felt, suffering from bleeding for 12 years? How would you feel? And a good exercise in my mind is to imagine yourself in their shoes and trying to see and feel how they would feel, what challenges they would face, emotions that they would feel, support that they may or may not have. You know, even if I cut myself shaven, I get embarrassed if I go out. That's why I've grown a beard. Now think of the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you, just for a second. And now think how you would feel if it constantly happened over and over and over for 12 years. She would have been incredibly embarrassed, as everyone would have known her and her condition, which in turn then becomes quite humiliating for her. She would have been seen to be unclean in her society and therefore an outcast. She was likely to have hit rock bottom, suffering from depression and anxiety, loneliness, sadness, and fatigue. Can you imagine trying to carry out your everyday life constantly thinking, "Am I now going to have another episode?" But on top of the embarrassment, she would have felt weak, weak from her constant blood loss, and I think she would have felt completely just drained of life, probably all the time. So with all of this going on, she then had the physical act of trying to reach Jesus. She would have found it really difficult just to even get to him. You know, it said that Jesus was almost crushed by the crowds around him. And due to her lack of energy, this was no easy feat for her. But what she did have was faith. She had faith that Jesus could and would heal her. She also had the motivation to go. As I read the passage, this almost feels to me like this is her last chance. This is like her last ditch attempt. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, spent all that she had trying to sort it out, and was still no further forward. But just as important as her having faith, she did have to put her faith into action and be determined to fight through the crowds, however she felt, to reach Jesus. Faith and action go hand in hand. There's no point having faith if you don't do anything with it. And it was her faith that saw her through. Against all that society would say and how she would physically feel, she had faith. How often do we go through a really tough junction in life and end up turning away from God rather than relying on him? And we end up ignoring him and turning a blind eye to what we've been taught. And it was her faith that made her well. It was her faith in Jesus being the Son of God, her faith in the stories that she'd heard about him, her faith in someone that she'd never met, her faith that said, if I just touch him, my life will change. So what problems do we face today? What problems do we have or face today? You know, it may be health or job uncertainty, depression, anxiety, love life, addictions like drink and drugs. Could be a porn addiction, could be gambling, could be sex. People even get addicted to Facebook and their mobile phones these days. It may be relationship problems, unemployment, age. It could even be a lack of faith. We've all got issues, and some admittedly are much greater than others. But do we hide from them? Do we ignore them? Do we pretend that they're not there? Hope that they'll disappear and sort themselves out? Or do we roll up our sleeves and get stuck in with trying to sort them out and address them ourselves? Or do we pray about them and have faith in the fact that God is in charge and he can and will change things if we pray earnestly and in faith? Philippians 4 says this: let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just going to read verse 6 again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition's constant prayer, constantly asking, with thanksgiving, doesn't matter where we are, how we feel, this thanksgiving, we have to be thankful. That's why right at the beginning of the service, we sang the song, Raise a Hallelujah. It's about raising a hallelujah in the deepest and darkest times in our lives. So we have to be thankful even where we are, because when we present our request to God, he can and will transcend us. So do we run from God, or do we run to him with our problems? Sometimes our problems and issues just seem too much to handle, too much to bear. But this passage reminds us of just how powerful our God is. The lady only had to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak, and she instantly felt better. The bleeding stopped and she was healed. And like I've said before from the front, many times, we need to be and we have to be tapping into this power source on a daily basis through reading his word and thanksgiving. And if we do that, we can and we will see the changes to our lives and to those around us. Think of some of those issues that we face today. Think of the worst issues that you've ever faced, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. And now think how you'd feel if you had to suffer with that for 12 years. We have to remember that Jesus came to give us life, not some mundane, ordinary, just scraping by day-to-day kind of life, or a life that's just bearable. He came to give us life. Life in all abundance. In John 10:10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. We're going to have a change of course here for a second, because I'm going to play an intro to a song. So it is Beat the Intro. And I'm going to see who can be the first to get it. And it is worth a chocolate bar if somebody gets it. But only before the main part of the song starts. So Martin's going to play a 7-second clip and hopefully pause it at the right time. And if somebody can get it, just shoot your hand up. And if it's right, you might get a chocolate bar. Okay, over to you, Martin.
Американская фирма Transceptor
Technology
приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
Oh, only because he heard the first part of the song, I reckon. Or did you know it, Chris? Yeah. Did you know it before that? Or was it just that first part of the song that got you? I thought that might be. I'll let you have a chocolate bar anyway. You were the first person. Sorry, Charlotte. He was just ahead of you. So, you can now play the clip, Martin.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology.
I was hoping somebody would get it for this bit. This is the first part of the song. Okay. I would have got it from the intro, but then that's my ear and that's the kind of music I like. So that says a lot about me, doesn't it? Anyway. Only if you're going to come and join me, Neil. So the second that she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she instantly was healed. And just as Jesus felt the power leave him, I believe that she felt the power of healing that she received. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. She had the power. Now, I couldn't preach about having the power of God without showing this YouTube clip. So, again, over to Martin. It's all going well at the moment.
And he saw that it was good.
Whoa.
Now, I'm not saying that she felt like that, but I am saying that she would have known that she'd got the power of Jesus inside her. And I think she would have probably gone away with that very last little bit of a clip, skipping and dancing down the road. I'd like to think so. But I'm going to move on to Jesus now. How did Jesus feel? What was going on in Jesus' head? Jesus had already got a job in hand. He was busy on a mission. He was on his way to heal Jesus' daughter when suddenly through the crowds he felt power leave from his body. Did Jesus feel like he'd been robbed? Did he feel that something had been taken without consent? Was Jesus cross because this encounter was going to hold him up and it was going to make him late to get into Jairus' daughter? We read in verse 49 that Jairus' daughter actually died because Jesus didn't make it in time. Verse 49 says this, "While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house and of Jairus, the synagogue leader. 'Your daughter is dead,' he said. 'Don't bother the teacher anymore.'" Why was Jesus so desperate to find out who touched him? You can almost hear the despondency in the householder's voice. "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." And again, Jesus said to Jairus, "Just believe and she will be healed." So much of what we can and will be done in Jesus' name is based upon our belief, our faith in the power of Jesus Christ, and then putting it into action. So why was Jesus so keen to find out who was touching him, who had touched him? Was it to condemn and to punish her for taking something without consent? No, of course not. He wanted to comfort her and reassure her that the feeling of wellness that she hadn't felt in years was down to her faith and her belief in him. And that this was no short-term healing kind of thing. In Luke 8, Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Jesus said to her, "Go in peace." And I think in a peace that she hadn't felt for years. Jesus didn't just heal her from 12 years of suffering and bleeding. He healed her life, he healed her soul to give her a peace deep within. Her lifeblood no longer flowed out from her, but the power of Christ flowed in. And instead of her life literally flowing away, life flowed in. And not just any kind of life, but the resurrection life and power of Jesus Christ. So how do you feel this morning? Do you feel drained? Do you feel weak? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel useless? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel ashamed? Do you feel guilty? Do you feel addicted? Do you feel trapped? Do you feel that you need to tap into the same power source that is in Jesus Christ today that healed the lame and raised the dead 2,000 years ago? Because you can. Let your faith fill you, refresh you. Ask the Holy Spirit this morning for a fresh anointing. Reach out to Christ and he will give you life, love, and power. What issues do you face today and how will you face them tomorrow? Will you face them differently, knowing that reaching out to Jesus Christ can and will help you? Will you take the power? And I'm not saying that this is some kind of a magic recipe for an instant miracle. And I'm definitely not saying that God is some kind of a fruit machine where you put your requests in and you get your healing out at the bottom. But what I am saying is that we can have the power to change the present and the future through faith, through prayer, through petition, and thanksgiving, just like it says in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We often say to ourselves that once this or that happens, everything's going to be all right. Everything will get better. As soon as I get a new job, or as soon as the economy gets better, or as soon as I get a new car, or as soon as I get some more money, or as soon as I've got some more time, or as soon as I've got a new partner, or as soon as she changes or he changes. I know Liz is still wishing for that. We all have our as soon as's. The bleeding woman probably spent many of the last 12 years thinking, as soon as. But today for her was different. She moved in faith. Something in her gave her the faith that if I just touch Jesus, everything will be okay. And her faith saw her through. Clearly, because in Luke 8:48 it says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." So my questions are to you. Are you going to make today different? Are you going to put your faith into action? Are you going to come to the cross this morning with the faith that the lady had and leave your troubles with him? Are you going to leave here today with God whispering in your heart, "Go in peace, your faith has made you well"?